I had an awesome trip with several people. We had 16 try to go, 14 made it. We had all people did all different jobs. We have a calculus 2 teacher right here. So if you want to take calculus 2, she don't want you bringing water or Coke in her class because you can't drink and drive at the same time. Like a derive, what in the world does that mean? Yeah, that's if you like math a lot. Calculus jokes don't go over very well, do they? So we have a group called Stetson Ministries, where we doesn't have anything to do with the college, but it's what we call our mission group. But before I start, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, thanks for the time we could talk about your word and different missions that give out your gospel and help us to be consistent and encourage each other to be faithful witnesses of the awesome free gift of eternal life. Thank you for that gift to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I like sharing the good news, whether it's here. Yesterday we went to the mall and six of us gave out the gospel. We had like 33 trust Christ. So that was in English. This one was not in English, but some background. My first trips were to Honduras, and I know some people before that they've been going for like 25 years ago. They went to Trinidad and stuff like that. But my first trip was to Honduras twice. Then we went to the Philippines, and I've told you different things about that. We went to Dominican Republic. That's my finger next to the spider. Then that's a video. We went to Dominica. Those aren't the same place. And we went to Brazil. That's like the boat. That's not the boat we were on. We were on a bigger one. But that's like the boat on the Amazon. It's a prime place to witness. It's really good. You see a lot of unique stuff. You get somebody had bladder stones that were like eggs, and the doctor says if they didn't have two of them, they might have died because they were like knocking together, so they still left room for stuff to move. But that's you get all different kinds of medical stories if you listen to the doctors. But this year, two weeks ago, we went to Costa Rica. It was supposed to be from the 17th to the 24th, but things change. Here, I'm going to give you a PowerPoint of me giving a PowerPoint. It's a time warp. I just put that there. But 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries." So I think that's unique to think that God gives us awesome opportunities, but are there people that want to stop us or throw? It might not even be people. It could be adversaries in what? In spiritual what? Places, right? High places. And when I say high places, I mean they could be flying big yellow planes and stuff. But see? Spiritual wickedness. Now, I didn't know what kind of spirit that was until they evil spirit. Even though it says howdy. So, like, we were supposed to go to Cancun. We were supposed to go to Fort Lauderdale, then to Cancun. Plans changed. So we went from, Costa Rica. See? Mixing me up. So instead of that, we went to Fort Lauderdale, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't hold the plane. It left 10 minutes early." But you 16 people, you just missed it. So we can rebook you in a week. So we're supposed to stay in a hotel for a week or 2 weeks. Like, that's not going to work. People got to go back to work. So we were just figuring out, where can we go? We looked all over the place, and I think a teenager said, "We'll try Cancun." And I said, "Okay." So we went to Cancun. Got there on Tuesday because they got tacos on Tuesday. So we're in Cancun. We fly Volaris. We go to places like Well, that was a Walmart because we have to get clothes because we don't have any luggage. Oh, we tried to get to Cancun on Monday, but we're on. Because I keep saying that. It starts with a C. We tried to get to Costa Rica, but they said, no, you didn't make the standby. So we go to get our stuff, and they said, oh, we sent your bags to Costa Rica. Got no clothes. So, and we're down in Fort Lauderdale. So it was like time to go to Walmart. And then we had to do it again because they, last time we're in Costa Rica going to Walmart, and then you got 10,500 colognes for those pants, stuff like that. So you got to figure out, what does that mean? And then so we, in Costa Rica, we go, well, we're going to have to get on a different airline. So we go on Volaris. You ever heard that song, Volare? Oh, by Dean Martin, whatever, I think it was. But I guess that was an ad for flying, for Volaris. Somebody told me that. That translates to flying. But we got on Volaris, and we're going to Costa Rica. And then because the spirit guy thought he's going to be nice, and he sends our luggage from Costa Rica to Cancun. So like our we had one bag of medicine, but the second one kept going different ways, gaining miles and stuff. But it was interesting. We didn't get our luggage until Thursday. It finally arrives. Got all these, like, I don't know, 16 bags or some, a bunch of bags. And they only check one bag. Now, what bag did they check? The bags with, where did I put it? With 200 of these dudes. Bags of Bibles. So that's what they checked. What do you got hiding in these Bibles? God's Word. But they didn't check the bag of pharmaceuticals. So we finally got our clothes on Thursday. And then this is the people that came down. You got the doctor on the right with mask in her hand. Then you got the calculus teacher right there. A road engineer. I'm in the background. There's a bunch of different people, but this is the ones that were in our group beside the translators. So we went down there to do what the Bible says, you know, truth and love, right, in 2 John. So we wanted to bring the truth with the gospel and love by giving them free medicine. We went to the poor areas mostly and saw some really sad situations. My one translator, he wasn't sure about how to get to heaven. Well, he thought he was going to heaven, but it was because of his good work. So I had to share with him that it's not by what you do, but what Jesus did. So once he got that, he was helping me really well one day. And these are some other translators. We share with them the gospel to make sure our translators heard the gospel. And when we were actually doing clinic, they wanted us to wear masks because Costa Rica has a rule for medical clinics. You didn't have to wear it anywhere else, but for there. Mexico, you had to wear it in the airport. And here is a... Is this a video? I think it is, but it's not, I don't know how to make it play. But it was, that's just showing the place we were first. It was like a farm type thing where we set up to do our first clinic. We only had half of our medicine, so we had to use what we had. And I did have 500 tracts in my personal bag, so I had a lot of tracts. And we had like 180 Bibles with us of these to give out in Spanish. So we had the spiritual part, just not the clothes part. The first day I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. It's like, well, you know, that's what I got from Walmart. Instead of what we normally wear, like nice pants and a collared shirt to look professional. It's like, I guess we're not going to look professional on the first day. Oh, it did play. That's the two buses we shuttle buses. There's our doctor, Josefina from Puerto Rico. And then we had another doctor in the back somewhere. Our translators, this area that's used to rent for different things. It's just a little video. And then this was the second day. It was supposed to have been like the fourth day, but this was the second day we actually got to do stuff in this. Used to be a church, I guess they were selling it, but we used it. The far by the door is the check-in, where they check in, put the information. Then on the right is the triage. How many people know what triage means? Okay, so that's what they were doing. They were giving them blood pressure and weight and stuff like that. Getting information about what do you say is wrong with you. Then they give all that to the doctor. That's on the over here on the left and behind those dividers. So we have different stations. And there's the doctor station. That right where they're standing, that's the pharmacy. They put us in the back. The counseling, the witnessing area, we were in the back room. You guys go in the back room. There's the triage. We had some teenagers and some 20-year-olds, the younger people doing the stuff like blood pressure and weight and all that different information type stuff. So they got, like, that one kid in the middle, I think he's, what, 15? 16? Oh, he's only 14, okay. So people that are younger get to volunteer to do the basic stuff, but I think he liked it. He also played soccer with some of the kids, but we take people that are willing to help. Here's the one doctor that was from Costa Rica. He helped us. Sometimes we have doctors that are from the country that are saying, well, I'll help. I like that idea about giving free medicine and also sharing about God. So we had a paradox. Then this guy, he translated the first day for me. I had a Spanish-English Bible, and I was given the gospel. I didn't notice that he didn't have his mask on. Bad. So you might tell the illustration I was using. It was called the hand gesture. I need to show you that so you can see what I did down there. And he would translate it. He never translated before for evangelism. He always translated for, like, if they're building something or they're doing other kinds of mission work. But he said, this is the first time I ever translated sharing the gospel with people. And he said, I like this. I want to do this with my life. Because he saw a lot of people trust Christ. I mean, some people that had a really rough time in their life. One lady said, I can't go to heaven because I'm living in sin. My husband is in prison because he did things to our family, and I didn't have a place to live, so I'm living in sin, so I can't go to heaven. So I showed her the gospel, that Jesus died for all sin, and she could get that free gift of eternal life. She understood it, and she trusted Christ. She was living a really hard life. Same thing with another lady that was big slice from a machete, and I'm not sure what her other arm looked like, because it was all wrapped up, but she was like, I think this is as worse as it gets. And I said, well, it gets worse if you die and you don't know where you're going. So I went over the gospel with her and shared her that you can get that free gift of eternal life. And when she understood it, she trusted Christ. In fact, the only one that didn't trust Christ would be the kids that are too little, like that little 2-year-old. He didn't trust Christ. He wasn't paying attention. But all the adults did except for one, and they already knew how to get to heaven, so I was trying to get them lost in them. But I thought it was interesting that he got excited. It's like, I want to do it the second day, but we rotated, and he was disappointed that he didn't keep doing the evangelism part. And you could see that blue track that we had back there, but it was translated into Spanish, and then I had a whole bunch of these in Spanish. This was an English one, though. So we gave out 380 New Testaments and over 500 tracts. So when Jesse gets these emails in Spanish, he's got to be able to answer them. Says Martinez, he must be able to answer. See, some of the kids, I think, are too young. But he was the one translating. And as you can see, the blue track there, it looks just like the ones back there, but it says Spanish stuff on it. Robert understands. I don't know. But it's interesting where you tell them in Spanish, they tell you in, they tell them in, well, you tell them in English. They tell them in Spanish, and they say it back in Spanish, and they say it back in English. And I always tell the translators, I need you to break it down in small pieces because I want to be able to understand what you're talking about. Don't let the person talk for 3 minutes. You talk for 3 minutes, and you go, look at me and say, yeah. It's got to be, I need to be in on the conversation. And so I told him that, and I said, well, how am I going to force him? I said, you don't force him. You tell him in the beginning what you're doing and why that you want me to understand that conversation that's going on so we can all have an idea what's going on. So if they understand why, then I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with it. So we explain to them why we are breaking down little chunks, sentence amounts, because I can't understand Spanish. If you, yes. Me llamo es Luis Hernandez, but no hablo español. It's like, that's my name, but I don't know the language. Here's an old picture of a pharmacy. I couldn't find a good one of the other one, I put one from a different island. Here's some of the people we were wearing Steps for Stetson t-shirts where we do a 5K and a 1 mile run to help raise money for the buying medicines that we take down there, different pharmaceuticals for the doctors. This is in Punta Leona, I think. The first day we were witnessing, but we weren't wrapped up yet, but they had booked a Zumba class. So I had just finished, but Peter was witnessing to somebody. He witnessed to the director, so they started a little late. But then he was witnessing to some other people, and they were doing Zumba while he was telling them how to get to heaven. So it's like a little noisy, but he still shared with them the gospel, and they trusted Christ, he said. So that was good during Zumba, but they were off to the left. Here I'm witnessing in the back room in the playground area. And what do kids want to do when you're sharing the gospel in the playground area? They want to get on that thing and make a lot of noise. We did let them do it once. Well, I couldn't even think. Like, they're screaming and yelling, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't even know what to say next because it's noisy. So I was mean, and I put up a sign, playground closed in Spanish. And once the kids saw that, they were like, but they sat down and didn't say anything. But they might have said something, but it was in Spanish, so I don't know. So I thought everything was fine. I didn't write that. One of the translators wrote it in Spanish. I don't know playing please or something. I don't know what it says. Then at the end of that day, well, at the end of the last day, I had 200 Bibles in a thing, in a case. And I go, I don't want to bring these back to the United States. I brought 380 Bibles. We gave out like 180. Well, I got 200, so what am I going to do with them? So it just happened coincidentally that this school was letting out at the same time we were stopping. Was that a coincidence? So I go to the, looking through the bars of the church there, and the school's across the street. So it's like, hey, I can give Bibles out behind bars. I'm just going to be like a carnival guy. Regalo gratis, la Biblia, free gift, Bibles. And Peter's like, free candy. So they came and got both. And I also put tracts in the Bibles that until I ran out of them. But so we gave out over 500 tracts and 380 Bibles to a elementary school that was across the street. So that's the first time I did a distribution in a school in Spanish Bibles. So that was interesting. They were excited because one of the guys told us that he was in a group of 80 kids and they were giving out Bibles, and he said 95% of them didn't have a Bible. So I didn't ask all these kids if they had Bibles because I wouldn't know how to do that. But if those other kids, it's probably the same for these kids. So a lot of them, probably the first time they got a Bible. I mean, I talked to people, the first time they ever got a Bible was that Gideon Bible you get in school when you're like in fifth grade. Because I know they used to do that back in the 60s. 1860s? No, 1960s. So that was good. We were eating it the last day we went to the beach in the Pacific Ocean. Some of the funny stuff, the nurse had a breakfast and she got close to the monkey. She was taking a picture of him and he reaches through and takes a piece of bread off of her plate. So, interesting. There was like a dozen of these just jumping around. But they had these netting so they couldn't actually come in, but they can reach your hand in if you're real close. So it was interesting. And our breakfast, rice, plantains, eggs, and some other stuff. And that orange juice and that, I don't know what they call that in fruit. Anybody know the Spanish name for that word, that fruit? I don't. Robocon? Okay. That's English? Or something? Generic? Where you crack it open and you eat the inside, but not the pit. That was the first time I ate one of those dudes. And it was a big one because they told me that, like in Dominican Republic, they're smaller. But these are pretty good size. Look like a sea anemone or something. There's a bunch of them crawling around. No, they're fruit. And of course, when we're in Costa Rica, we got to go eat in a Texas barbecue place. We also went to a Chinese restaurant. Well, we're in Costa Rica. Got me some brisket. And then we were at the beach area, and I felt big in it. Then I got to do some intense preaching to our group. And I did a review of what we did, and then Peter also talked. You might notice I didn't put any pictures of Peter in here. Just me. He's not here, so he can't say, where's my picture? I was looking for the one of Sandra she didn't like, but I didn't find it. You can see in La Carpia, where they have the largest landfill of the country, they built these houses on it. And it's interesting that you go to that country, you see barbed wire in places where they don't want you to go. It's a different kind of living. How many houses do you see like right on the road and where you got bars everywhere? And they live in these kind of like shack type things. I mean, they try to make it look nice. They put flowers on it, but still bars. You see a lot of, when you go down there, there's a lot of, if you like flowers and stuff, a lot of flowers. I don't know what these are. Some people like know all that stuff, but I don't, I just think they were kind of neat looking. Like crab claws and bird or whatever. Then you got flora and fauna. Here you got some nice lizards. I guess you see more of those in Miami, but you see a lot down there. And then, of course, you got the, after a while, crocodile, like seven of them right there, down in the river. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I saw 8, but I think I only see 7 right now, 6 right now. Okay, somewhere. But it was interesting to see the crocodiles in the water. We didn't go down there and swim. But we did look down there at them. We were on the bridge. So if they could jump 80 feet, then they can get us. But here's what I shared with people. I like sharing this when I go to malls and places like that. And I share them. The best news I ever heard. I go up to people, ask different questions, how to get their attention. Down there, we ask them different ones, but like I say, can I share with you the best news ever? And I'm old, so it must be pretty good news. So I most time they listen. Not everybody, but most time they listen. So what's the good news? It says, it's about how much God loves you. So let me ask you a question. Do you know God loves you enough to where you hope you're going to go to heaven? Where you know you're going to go to heaven? Or you don't think about it? I've heard hundreds of times all three answers. Some people say, I don't think about that stuff. Or I hope. Or I know. And if they say I know, I said, if you knock on God's door and God says, why should I let you in? Would you say, because I'm a Bible college professor? Or Catholic teacher or whatever. Why would he let you in? And they, if they start saying, well, because I have a good relationship with Christ. I pray a lot. I read my Bible. I go to church. Then I say, what did all those sentences start with? I. And I said, who you trust and get you to heaven? They said, well, me. Well, let's talk about that. Then I go over this. I said, let's start with the problem. What's the problem? Number one, let my left hand represent you and me and some object like a phone. If I'm in the mall, I use a phone because I don't use my wallet in the mall because it brings attention from people who don't want you to use it. So he's doing like, what are they doing with the wallet? So I use something that everybody has in the mall, and they have it out all the time anyway, so it doesn't bring any attention. So I said, let my phone represent everything we do wrong. And I say, this is us, this is sin. Sin separates us from God. We all have sin, right? I sin. You sin, right? I always start with me. I sin. Why? Because if I just start out with, you know, sin's bad and you're a sinner, they probably don't want to listen because you started out with like being negative to them. So I want to include myself in it so it's not offensive to them. So I said, I've definitely done something wrong. You know, I've lied. I told two lies. No, three. One guy goes, you lied again. So we all got sin because it separates us. The penalty of sin is away from God forever. And I don't want my penalty. I said, I try to make it interactive. Do you want your penalty? The one back there like that. Do you want your penalty? Oh, he said, yes. just about everybody says, no, I don't want my penalty because it says the penalty of sin is death eternally away from God. That's for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Then establish the fact that man has to be perfect. So heaven's not good. Heaven is perfect. I like to do that, the comparison. Heaven's not good. Heaven's perfect. And I look at them to make sure they're looking at me. And if they're not looking at me, I point at, yeah, are you perfect? No, what? Are you perfect? And because I'm not. And they say no. Once in a while, there might be some four teenagers, and one of them say, I'm perfect, and the other three look at him and start laughing. Because we know you. It says, you got to be perfect. And establish the fact that you can't do anything. When I was in Costa Rica, I said, you know, we came thousands or hundreds and hundreds of miles to come down here to give away free medicine. And it doesn't get rid of any of our sins. We can't get rid of our sins. No matter what we do. When I went to the Philippines, I said, we flew over 10,000 miles to come over here to give away free medicine. And it doesn't get rid of our sins. So we can't do any effort to get rid of our sins. And God knew that. So he didn't want us to spend eternity away from him. So that's the problem. And you could go over Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I can't brag and say, you know, I've been to all these countries, that's why I'm going to heaven. No. I'm not going to heaven because of any of that. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. So I say, let my right hand represent who? Jesus. He came down on earth. He paid the only sacrifice God would accept when he died on the cross and shed his. You know, a lot of times I like to ask him, he died on a what? And they have to make it interactive because if it's not interactive, you can lose their what? Attention. So you want to make it interactive. So he died on a what? Cross. And he shed his what? Blood. So I try to get an answer to be the sacrifice for our sin. Isn't that a lot of love? Like if there's other kids there, like if when I'm talking to several kids, I said, if your friend here needed a heart transplant because his heart was messed up, would you give yours to him? And they go, well, no, because then I'll be dead. that's a lot of love when somebody gives up their whole life, right? So I said, well, Jesus took our sin, died, on the cross and he rose again. And he wants to give you a free gift. And then when we were in Costa Rica, we gave him a free piece of dum-dums. Those little lollipops. I think they call them pops down there or something. So could I give you this free gift? And they take it. Now, was that hard or easy? Difficile, or I forget the words for hard and easy in Spanish. And they would say, easy, because they took it. Nobody said 9-in-1 and candy, but they all took it. So see how simple that was? Would you take that free gift of eternal life that God's offering you? Next one. God took our sin and he imputes to us his righteousness. So it's not just taking away sin, it's giving his perfection, his righteousness. So when you get to heaven, you will be as perfect as God, because you're going to have whose perfection? Jesus. You get that free gift. And I always, like in the mall, I said, you like free gifts? And I say, can you go get a free watch in that store over there? No. You could try, but you get arrested. But there's no free. The only thing free, I like to say, the only thing free in the mall is like a piece of chicken from the food court. And you give you a little nugget. That's about it. But God offers a free gift that's eternal life. And when I share that with people, most people didn't think about it that way. God offers that free gift of eternal life because he gives you his righteousness. He took away the penalty of your sin, and he gives you a free gift of eternal life. It's two ways. And how do you receive it? Well, when you took that little piece of candy, you reached your hand out. But we don't reach our hand out to get eternal life. We do it by the word. It's like 165 times believe in faith is in the New Testament. It's repeated over and over and over again. And I think 99 times in the book of John. You need to believe. You need to believe in Jesus, not just in God that he... Some people, well, I believe in God that he's going to supply my food and hear my prayers. Well, that's nice, but you need to believe what Jesus did for you on the cross. Not just that God's going to answer your prayer to give you food and clothes. Specifically, you need to believe Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. He's God. You can't say, oh, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. That's not going to work. There's people out there that say that. I believe in God, but Jesus didn't die on the cross. Jesus wasn't the Savior. It's like, well, you got a problem. Because that's how you get that free gift. You believe that Jesus died for you. And I used to know Jesus died. I could probably say Jesus died for me, but I didn't understand what that meant, so I didn't really trust in Jesus. I just believed what that was said. But then I understood he did it for me. Like sometimes I get them to point to themselves. Point to yourself. Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. I did that outside the last place we were at, and we did it in Spanish. I was talking to like six people, five women and a man. And I said, well, point to yourself, Jesus died for me. And the guy, the 50-year-old guy, wasn't really participating very well. And the women were like, do it. So he did. He pointed to himself. He started listening as soon as I started talking about the place of fire. He goes, what? So he listened, and then he said he trusted Christ. All six of them. So that was good. When they heard that they need to believe in Jesus, not believe in their good works, because 99% of them, or 95% of the people I talked to, were believing in their good works to get them to heaven. Why are you going to heaven? I. I said, well, let's change that to where, why are you going to heaven? Because of Jesus. He's the Savior. He died. He's paid for our sin, and he's given us his perfection, his righteousness. So would you believe that he's your Savior? Believing he's the Savior is kind of nebulous. You got to believe, is he your Savior? Well, I don't know. Well, then you need to believe he's your Savior. Has he saved you? Do you understand he's offering you that free gift? Would you believe that? Would you accept that free gift? Or would you? The Bible doesn't use the word accept that way. It says believe, and it says receive. So would you receive that free gift? And then I showed him that you can be certain of it, and you can't lose it. So I like to use this illustration. When I'm doing the hand gesture, I said, if this is us, this is Jesus, he holds on to us. I mean, we don't have to do that. He holds on to us. And whenever we die, he'll bring us to heaven. And he said he'll lose how many of his children? None. He'll lose nothing. John 6, what? like it says in the blue right there, John 6, 37, 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the Father will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should only lose Bob. No, I should only lose nothing, but should raise up again the last day. Once you're in God's hand, he won't lose you. Now, several people down there, when I said, well, could God ever lose you? And they said, yeah, if I stop believing in him. Then I used a comparison to the mother with a child. Okay, you got a 4-year-old child there. That's your child, right? Yes. You're going to tell them they're not your child anymore? No. What if when they are 8 years old, they come up to you and say, I don't believe you're my mother anymore? Are you going to say, okay, you're not my child, go away? I said, would you do that? And they go, of course not. Well, then why would God do that? Are you more forgiving than God? Why would you expect God to do that and you wouldn't? How many mothers in here would disown their children because they said, I don't believe you're my mother? They got mad at you because you wouldn't give them something. No mother I ever talked to said that. And like if I said, like a mother, you're walking your 2-year-old across the street, and they want to go out and play with cars. Are they going to be strong enough to overpower you? Hope not. Weak if you can't hold on to a 2-year-old. So can we ever overpower God and get out of his hand? No. We can't lose it because we're not the ones securing it. Who's the one giving us full assurance of faith? Who's the one securing us? Jesus. So if God's holding on to it, we don't have to worry about losing it. 2 days ago, I was talking to Jeanette Lindstrom, the wife of the pastor that was here for 40 years. I was talking to her, and I said, I can't find my phone. I'm glad I'm not the one securing it, because I don't know where I'm putting things. And where was my phone? It was in my hand. But I was looking around at the table and stuff. I was like, I heard of people doing that. Nah, I've done it. I can't believe it. So I was talking to somebody today, and they say, oh, I've done that. Well, I never did that until now. Some of you are going, what? I've never done that. Well, if you're 30-something, then it doesn't really count. Especially when your phone is like your lifeline, and my phone is like, I don't really care where it is. And some people are like, yeah, I don't answer that thing. It went ahead. So I like the fact that we can't lose it. We're in God's hand. And we can know it. We can be sure of it. Like when I ask kids, your mom's taking you home, right? Do you know you're going? I asked them that today in Sunday school. You know you're going home because of who? Your mom, right? She's driving you home. Are you sure? Yeah, because I trust who? You trust your mom. You know you're going home. So we know we're going to have eternal life in heaven with Jesus because we trust Jesus. Can we be sure? Just as sure as you are, your mom's taking you home. I know there's several kids in here. Their parents drove them here. They don't know their parents are going to leave them. No, but that you can be sure you're trusting in your parent to drive you home. So that same kind of trust, we can trust in Jesus, and we know we're going to go to heaven. And we're trusting in a better spirit than we went. Spirit Airlines is not to be, but that's a whole nother YouTube video. But I like the fact that we can share that good news with people. How can you get the best gift that exists on this planet? Like if I was going to give you $100, that'd be a nice gift. But nowhere near eternal life. That $100 could be only worth a gallon of gas in a couple years. But eternal life is eternal and it doesn't go down in value. There's no inflation. There's no confiscation by the government. It's guaranteed. It's the best news ever. And because God loved us, that should be a motivation for us to do what? To love him by sharing that good news. I know a lot of people are like, I can't talk. When I was in eighth grade, I stood up in front of 400 people because Dr. Lindstrom said he wanted me to give a testimony. So I was an eighth grader. I walk up in front and I look at everybody. Like 20 seconds later, I'm still looking. And I sit down. I said, zero. I was like, boy, I'm the dumbest person ever. Because I just couldn't talk. I was like, So I know what it's like to be scared of people. Be scared of talking in front of people. Anybody ever get scared of talking in front of a big group? It's like, I can't talk. Well, this is good news. If you knew there was a big danger outside and there was a big group of people that didn't know about it, wouldn't you be like, hey, danger, because of your motivation? Well, we got more important than physical danger or temporary danger. We have the good news of eternal life that gets rid of that eternal danger. We shouldn't keep it a secret. I like the song they had back when I was a teenager. Secret service Christians are not needed at this time. Anybody remember that song? By the Spokesman? Nope. God doesn't need CIA Christians. Unless you change it, right? One person put it, CIA, contact is opportunity. That's CIO. Contact is opportunity. So if you have a contact with people, share that good news. The first person I shared that good news with was like the kid down the street, because he was a couple years younger. I was like, well, you can't make fun of me because I'm older than him. So I told him how to get to heaven. And I told my mom, she's like, no, that's not how it would. But after a while, she came to church here, and they had a book, sign-in book. She didn't like what they said, so she scratched her name out. So I thought that was interesting. Uh-oh, my mom's mad. So she came back to our youth, Tampa Youth Ranch, and there was another speaker, and she liked him. So she heard it, and she understood it, and she trusted Christ. So that was Dr. Cameron that she heard and changed her mind. So share the gospel. Sometimes it might take a long time. My sister took several years before she would change her mind. She was a popular person in high school and didn't really want to talk to her little brother and stuff. So it took a while. It took some major things happening. My grandma took like 10 years for her to change her mind. But she saw truth in the Bible that my mom showed her, because she didn't really listen to me, but she listened to her daughter more. And she heard the gospel that way. Sometimes you need to tell people, other people, to tell them, then they finally change their mind. Sometimes it's relatives are hard to get them to change their mind. I know I was talking to my niece and wanted to share with her in New York City about Jesus and how to get to heaven. She said, I don't want to talk about that. Because I was there for a mission trip. We were giving the gospel out in New York City, Manhattan. So, well, can I tell you what I did today? She goes, okay, that sounds interesting. So, you know what? I went up to some people in the park, and I said, hey, let me share with you this good news about how to get to heaven. And I told her what I told those people. She goes, I know what you're doing. I was like, well, it's okay. So you can be creative. You want to have a positive opening, because is it a positive message? It's the best message there is. And when I go up to people and say, I want to share with you the best news I've ever heard, I am not giving fluff. That is the best news I've ever heard. There isn't anything better. And when they understood that, I've had people to say at the opening, well, I don't believe in God. After they hear the gospel, I believe that. Robert did that to three teenage boys at Robinson High School. He was going up, and there was two other girls, but they did believe in God. But the three boys said, I don't believe in God. But after he gave them the gospel, they trusted Christ. Remember that? So he beat me on that. I haven't had three atheists at the same time, just like one. So I know the teenager that was talking to the people down there, he said, I got three people to cry. He said, well, I've only had like two people to cry when I was witnessing to them. So he got to beat me on that record. I know one lady was really, really so emotional that she could know she had eternal life and wasn't scared anymore of what was going to happen forever. She was crying a lot. She was in her 30s. Another one was crying down there because of all the things that were happening in her life. One lady was like, I think God didn't answer my prayer, because I asked him, God, have you abandoned me? What's going on? I haven't heard anything. And so the translator was telling her, you know what? God sent us to talk to you. And she heard the gospel. She trusted Christ. So people around the world go through really hard things that we don't always think about. I mean, it happens here, but not to the degree it happens over there. The poverty over there is lower. I mean, how many people live on a landfill? It's like, well, I might. I don't know. I've never dug down there. But they were living on a landfill. So just to go help those kind of people, I think, is neat. I know we help. We've been to prison. Jess and I have been to prison together. And so has Trent. We've been to prison together. Sharing the gospel to people. Yeah, you took us to prison once, too. And sharing the gospel with people in the courtyard where there was like hundreds and hundreds of... and then we went to where there was two because they were bad and they weren't allowed out. Then we went to the solitary confinement where they were worse, but we got to share the gospel. They were behind the door, but we could talk to them and give them tracts. Though we were supposed to make sure the guard knew. Sometimes I didn't follow the rules. I just slid them a tract. Uh-oh, you didn't get permission. Well, what are they going to do? I'm already in prison. So share the gospel wherever you are, because whether you're in prison visiting or whether you're at a mall, whether you're in a gas station, whether even the church, you got a new person come in, share the gospel with them. We shared the gospel with the translators. And I know one of them didn't like it because, what do you think we are? We're already saved. So, well, then you should be happy about talking about it. If you're already saved and somebody wants to share the gospel with you, are you going to say no? Or are you going to say, yeah, that's neat. I'll listen to what you got to say. I've never had anybody walk up to me and say, let me share the gospel with you. When I was a teenager, I went to a youth group. I was 11. And they gave the gospel. But nobody walked up to me. It was a big group of like 60 kids of middle school. Back in the day when like a guy named Rudy Overholzer was doing the ranch and Hank was the director. And they gave the gospel and I understood it. They said, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand so we can pray for you. I'm like, I don't know you, so I'm not raising my hand. But I did trust Christ. Like a month later, I raised my hand. But that didn't get me to heaven. It's like telling that guy up there, okay, it took this kid a month to understand this. But that's because I didn't like talking, didn't like big groups. Talking like this would be like, that's never going to happen. But you can overcome that. Was there anybody in the Bible that had problem talking? Moses. Who else? When Isaiah said, or was he the one that said, then said I, hear my, send me? But I know one of them, the complaint was, I'm a child. Well, I can't speak well. Well, I'm God. I made you. I think I know all that. So God can help you. Jesse can help you with his classes. Bible college can help you get better at it. How do you get better at something? Practice. We can help you. Come out on Saturday or Friday, whichever night or day we pick, where we go out to different places and witness. We've witnessed in many places. Next year, we're going to Brazil on the Amazon on the same, I think the same boat. Might have been updated, I'm not sure. But that will be a unique trip going up the Amazon River, seeing anaconda and piranha and stuff like that. But it's neat where these kids come on, or different people come on the boat. And people that are 70s, 80s listen because they're thankful they got free medicine. So they're listening to the gospel. So use your opportunities. I know I don't use all the opportunities I have. I could have talked to that person. But use opportunities because there's one thing good we can't do in heaven. We can't share the gospel with an unsaved person. So we got to do it now. So let's use those. I know it's people are like, well, that's not my gift. Well, if your neighbor's house was burning and would it be your gift to warn them? We're like, I can't really tell them. Well, this is just, in fact, I think this is even worse because this is eternity. So, there's that song, "Let Me See This World As Though I Were Looking Through Your Eyes." God sees eternity in mind. We need to look at it that way. Don't be like a horse with the blinders. Open up, share the gospel, because we need to do it together. Can one person do it by themselves? We need to do it as a group. Like when in the Acts, they went out by what? Twos, right? So we try to do that when we go out because you can help each other. So let's think about that. If you haven't trusted Christ, you can do that, get that free gift tonight. Just believe that. And if you have, you got a free gift of eternal life. You can know you're going to heaven. You'll never lose it. So let's pray. Father, thanks for this time where we can look at your word and talk about a mission trip. Help us to work on the mission here we have here. And help us all be growing, getting better and better at sharing the good news of eternal life with our friends and family and even the people we don't know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.